And welcome back to episode 90 of the Weekly Tech Rant with me, Jay.
And me, Carl.
Well, you're not quite fully there. I'm going to say with 85% Carl, I'm going to say.
I'm getting there. I have not been feeling well all week. So we're recording this on Saturday rather than Wednesday. It's taken me that long to get out of bed.
Yes. We fed him full of coffee or something equivalent, and he's up and running, and he is in the studio. So hopefully we can keep him online long enough to get the podcast recorded. But
yeah, so apologies if I suddenly mute. I'm sneezing and coughing everywhere. It's not not very pretty.
I don't think you're selling it there, Carl.
No, I'm not.
Well, it has been a long week. Since we last spoke to you, of course, we have the Broadcom VMware acquisition is rumbling on, carrying on with all of the bells and whistles around that. It is clearly going to go ahead, bearing any, regulator input. And also, VMware will not be publishing any more financial guidance for the rest of the financial year of 23, which they're in, because they have a slightly skewed year. So I think, you know, this is going to be interesting to see. We've seen a lot of feedback, haven't we, since we went on air last week from people.
We have, yes.
Across the board.
In public and in private. A lot on Twitter, a lot of old colleagues have messaged me to have a chat. And the consensus hasn't been great.
No. And I think, you know, we've seen different messages from both sides of the fence, haven't we? A lot of the people are really excited about this, probably because it's like, hey, we can deflect from all the problems we've got. And a lot of VMware people are quite concerned. Though some VMware veterans, if you will, have, you know, come on record and published on Twitter and other LinkedIn saying that, you know what, we've been here before. You know, VMware's been acquired.
Yes.
VMware's been sold. The company has weathered. And perhaps, you know, perhaps they are right. Perhaps this is just another chapter in that evolution. And it may not be quite the bloodbath that some people are saying. Now, another person did go on record last week, which was Brian Madden. I think, remember, did we speak? I don't know if we mentioned it online when we were there.
No, it was after it, wasn't it?
So Brian Madden, who anybody who may not be aware, is that of Madden, brianmadden.com, which was a tech website. Brian was a tech journalist who wrote several books over the years on tech subjects, typically around digital workplace or end user computing. Yes. He was with VMware for some years as a chief technologist. I think he had a different higher role than that, didn't he? He had a distinguished technologist. Excuse me, I didn't mean to, demote him. He was talked about, you know, the vision for VMware, excuse me, and EUC, and you know, talked about where the company was going. Now, he left the other year, retired after 28 years in the industry to help run a pinball company, which is quite left field.
Didn't see that coming.
No, not at all. But he stepped down, didn't he, from everything tech. But he published a large blog post on LinkedIn, which was, in his own words, brutal.
It was eye-opening. Yes, it was.
You know, and as far as, according to him and some sources, the Broadcom offer was unsolicited. So it didn't come from VMware leadership. It came out of nowhere. Which implies, I don't know, you know, it says it may not come from VMware leadership, but who's to say it wasn't discussed at different levels? But anyway, that's just speculation.
Dell the man himself.
Yeah. But it talks about, obviously, the fact of, like, you know, there's the shop clause, wasn't there, where they could go and have a chat and see if anybody else is interested. And you know, the reality is, it ain't going to happen. And Brian Madden puts that in his article as well. And also, it was around the closing price, wasn't it? So Broadcom offering $142 a share. VMware closed just under $100 the day before the deal leaked. So that was a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
So actually, it's a pretty good premium. It's over $50 on the...
Oh, it's
on,
a very, very good price. Price, yeah.
Yeah. The reality is nobody's going to come in. Nobody is going to come in and save this deal. And he also talks about how the culture of the company isn't quite how it appears internally, externally. And secondly, why didn't the board of directors stop it? Well, they weren't going to, were they? Why would you stop it when actually the majority shareholding vote was held by Michael Dell of Silver Lake Partners? And also, you're making the company and the rest of the shareholders money. So you're not going to ditch it, are you? So, and it also talks about antitrust. And as we kind of suggested, antitrust probably wouldn't happen because there was really no competition, was there?
No, exactly. I think as Brian alluded to, you know, the board is only there to make shareholders money. That's it. They don't care about the staff as such. Their primary goal is to make them money.
Yep, exactly. And it says, you know, talks about like the life of Broadcom and how things may be different there. And even though that they're rolling everything into VMware as a brand, perhaps that is just a gutting of that values. But the reality is, you know, this was just one person's opinion, but somebody who is highly respected in the industry and also who had a lot of insight into what was going on with the company. So I would say
a lot of stuff he talked about, I'm sure you could relate to.
Yes, I think you could, yeah.
Yeah, the inner workings of VMware, as people who have both worked there, a lot of it I could relate to.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna be disparaging on people of the company not at all. But what I will say is that yeah, it's probably a very uncertain time for a lot of people. Some will see it as an opportunity to leap forward, and they will. But I think for many, this uncertainty is fear and unsure of where all of the company is going to go direction wise. But time will tell. As we said last week, it'll take at least a year before things probably change, you know, externally speaking. Yep. But yeah, I just wanted to, you know, bring that up because that probably was, you know, it's the biggest tech story at the moment, realistically, and one that, as we said, we'll be following. Right then. So this week we have got a slightly different lineup, haven't we? We've got games. We've got dating. We've got chips. We've always got chips. And we've got we've got it. I'm so excited to say this. We've got a review on Top Gun Maverick, which we're going to try and avoid any spoilers, but I will caveat this now that if it happens, I'm really sorry, but we will try our best not to make any spoilers beyond what is already out there in the public domain. And we've got the Tech Wrap Rumor Mill. But let's kick off then first with EA then. So sales and mergers, acquisitions.
So the rumor has been that EA are looking for a sale or a merger. And they've all been speaking to, Apple, Disney, Amazon, as well as, you know, other potential buyers. Didn't see this one. I can't understand why they want to sell or merge. They're probably one of the smaller players in the market now. I mean, their net worth is only $39 billion or around there. Their market cap, I should say. So now we've had all these mergers and acquisitions. They're actually one of the smaller players rather than the largest.
Yeah, and I'm puzzled by this. And unless I missed something really specific, I don't understand why they're looking for this. And it does seem that they are angling more of a merger than a sale, aren't they, given some of the rumors.
Yeah, they are saying that the deal, and I presume this is for a merger rather than a buyout, it would allow Andrew Wilson, who's their current CEO, to remain the CEO of the combined company. Well, that's not going to happen if they merge or be bought by Disney, Apple or Amazon, is it?
No, it's not. And they're not going to, none of those people are going to want the existing CEO to remain in post, isn't it? They are going to want to run the company properly. That is just very, very optimistic thinking, quite frankly, in that sense.
It is. Yeah, I mean, obviously, not Disney themselves. There was talks of actually them merging with ESPN, which is obviously owned by Disney.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, though, isn't it? Given the EA Sports branding.
They have a licensing deal, the branding there. I mean, they're quite close to Disney, aren't they? There's a lot of deals and going on. But, it definitely wouldn't be a merger with Disney itself. ESPN, perhaps. The other rumour is NBC Universal, which is owned by Comcast.
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah.
Apparently that deal, then quite a lot of talking there, you know, but they couldn't quite agree on the value of the company. But apparently under the deal, the Comcast CEO, Brian Roberts, would take majority control of the merged company, but Wilson would remain the chief executive. Apparently just couldn't quite get it over the line.
No, but it comes back to the point, I still don't get it. Why are they looking for this? And it just puzzles me. I mean, the rumors, as you say, with some of the suitors in play there, the EA Sports brand has got a lot of weight. So the Comcast or the ESPN signups, yeah, I get that. Maybe I can see value in that. But Apple, you know, the other people, you know, like that, I don't get that
Apple
either.
Apple likes to talk about gaming, but doesn't really take gaming seriously.
Oh, come off it. Every single keynote we see, they bring on some games developer playing something on the iPad. And like everybody's like, that's great. You know, it's like
not really gaming. That's mobile gaming. Mobile gaming, not gaming. And then they bring out the pictures, don't they, the videos of hardcore gamers. And you're like, that's not one. No, that's not. No. Just no.
No. No. No.
And then, but then, yeah. And then actually, they don't do any decent graphics cards. The new graphics in the M1 Pro and Max chips are great, but they're still not a 3080 or a 3090. Not just from a pure grunt perspective. They don't really have the, I suppose, the backing, do they?
No, I don't see it. I mean, I could see, you know, given some of the people you mentioned, Amazon probably seems a logical company to buy this because they could wrap that into the Amazon gaming part. You know, they're trying to build up the studios there. This would give them a lot of...
Have some game studios.
Yeah, and it would give them a lot of weight straight away, wouldn't it? You know, the ready-made studio that they could adapt, they could plug into their existing gaming infrastructure.
Oh, what's it called? They've got streaming one.
Oh, it's come to Luna. Luna, is it? Is it Luna? Oh,
it's Luna Sync, isn't it? I don't know. I can't remember now.
I think it is Luna. It's Luna. Yeah, I'm going with Luna. They've got that.
Yeah, it is Luna. There. It is. You're right. I've googled it.
They could bring across some of the EA tech into that. But, you know, given where we are today with EA, look at the EA app or Origin, whatever you want to call it, all available on Game Pass. Well, not all of it, but most of it available on Game Pass now, isn't it? You can get tie-ins to Steam as well. You know, they're clearly trying to just use the IP that they have rather than the platforms.
Yes.
But I don't, I'm curious to understand the end goal here. Are they running out of money? That is possible, you know? Is that
could
the
be.
Issue?
I mean, here? Sales could be diving. I mean, the majority of their money comes from trotting out the same game over and over again with a different year number on the end, doesn't it?
Well, I was just going to say, the whole, was it like FIFA, Madden, F1,
we'll Battlefield? Update a couple of Excel sheets with the latest rosters and, slap a new number on the end, and that's 60 quid. Thanks very much.
Ka-ching! Very, very, very puzzling. But I mean, I used to quite enjoy some games. I mean, some of the stuff on Game Pass, I had a blast on, I think it was one of the UFC fighting games on Game Pass. Okay. It was a bit of a good laugh. I didn't, talking like an hour, you know what I mean? But I wouldn't have bought it, but it was there, you know?
Why not? Yeah.
F1 22, actually, that you've just reminded me. I want to go download that today, actually. I'm going to go download that.
Is that out now, is it? It's on Game Pass, yeah?
Yeah, I'm sure it was. One of our mutual friends mentioned about it, or maybe he was talking about last year's one. I can't remember, but I'm pretty confident it was. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. It's just a case of, trot it on out. Thanks very much. Off we go, isn't it? You know?
It is. So F1 2022, are you going to be trying it in VR? Because it's sports VR, doesn't it?
If it's available on, if it turns up on PC, maybe. But after my experiences of Project Cars over a year ago, more than a year ago now, I will be, I think close to 2 years ago, actually, now, isn't it, Project Cars?
It probably is, yeah.
I will be refraining from that. No, it's not. I just looked. I thought F1 22 was that. Maybe it was F1 21 then that he was mentioning.
I don't think EA do brand new releases onto the Game Pass.
I think it was 22. Sorry, that was it. Yeah. But I think, stuff like that, I get the idea of it. But yeah, 60 quid a time for just changing the rosters on the other games. No, thank you. No, thank you.
No.
Well, all right. Well, let's see. That's a merger I'm not overly excited about, but there you go. No. So then, talking of money then, this was the one we spoke about the other week, wasn't it? Yes. Google and the Match Group, or Match.com, wasn't it? Those pesky fees.
Yeah, so it seems they've come to some kind of agreement, haven't they? Or an interim compromise, shall we call it, over their in-app payment platform. Because obviously, as we spoke about, Google are now trying to push everyone to use the Google billing system.
They are indeed.
Seems a backward step after all that's gone on, but they are. And obviously they've allowed, is it Spotify, to beta testers, haven't they?
That's what they were. They were kind of early access partners, weren't they, of some description?
They were. But anyway, Match are obviously not happy with this, and they tried to, what have they done? They went for a restraining order, didn't they, against Google.
Brilliant.
Which it accuses of wielding an unfair monopoly power in its mobile app marketplace. But anyway, they've apparently come to a compromise. There have been a handful of concessions from Google, which has allowed Match to remove that restraining order. So they've seeking assurances that the app would not be rejected or deleted from Google Play Store, providing alternate payment options. So basically, they can put their own payment platform in there for now. The company have also, well, Match, as in the company, have agreed to put $40 million aside in an escrow account in lieu of paying fees to Google directly for Android app payments that happen outside of Google Play's payment platform. They're still arguing that these fees are illegal under federal and state law. And it's this escrow account is going to remain in place until the court case is settled.
That's hedging your bets, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. Put it away. Don't spend it just in case you need to pay it out.
Is that like your tax payments?
Exactly like your tax payments.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
You wait to HMRC give you OK, and then you wait another 3 or 4 months just in case they change their mind, and then you spend it.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I give fair play to them. The fact they withdrew the temporary restraining order implies that, you know, you say something definitely was going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are they going to win this? I'm not entirely sure, given what we spoke about last time and Google's legal position. Yeah. And the fact that, the Apple Epic thing had a similar thread to it, didn't they? Whilst it wasn't a straight, clean victory, we won, you lost. It did. Excuse me, I'm coughing there. It did give Apple, a moral high ground, didn't it? And, you know, Google, I think, could come here. And the fact that Google have been transparent about the fees, they've been very clear about it. They've offered an alternative, you can't say that they haven't been doing it. Implies that Match, I think, are going to probably lose this, and hence the reason why the money has been put aside, as opposed to them just saying we ain't paying. But I don't know.
It's a different one for Google, though. Apple have always, it's always been from the beginning, you use our payment platform. And now, obviously, they're being forced to allow you to use other payment platforms, but you still need to get Apple their cut. Google, from the very beginning, has been, use whatever platform you want. And now they're trying to get in on the, no, you must use our platform. But if you don't, you're going to pay us anyway. It's a different stance to begin with.
Yeah, but you could argue the other way then, yeah? If they're making concessions around what could be an antitrust lawsuit, is that a sign of guilt? You could play devil's advocate to say, well, all right, well, maybe then they're backing down because their legal team are like, okay, we need to make this go away.
Yeah, so I don't think Google are going to win this.
Just to kind of flip it the coin then,
Google can't then argue about security, because that's then for saying that their platform was insecure beforehand.
Yeah, it did.
I don't think Google are going to win this one.
Something is puzzling me here. That are Google, even though I've just said, I think Google might win, the other part of me does kind of have maybe then there is a side
Match
to this.
Match aren't in this for the greater good. Match just want their money.
Oh God, yeah, definitely.
They're not doing it. They're not. Epic want their money as well, but at least Epic are portraying that they're doing this for the greater good. Match don't care. They're just saying we want our money.
Well, yeah, and we knew that because do you remember when we spoke about this last time? Yeah. What was the thing? Google released that press statement, didn't they? They released that press release saying that Match.com basically were telling lies. They were mischaracterizing the agreement. Wasn't it to do with?
They're also under investigation for antitrust or something.
Yeah, but there was also something around the fact that it wasn't a technical issue either. The fact that they couldn't, there was claims from Match.com that they couldn't integrate the billing system, was the fact that 10 other apps in the group are using the billing system.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I don't think you're quite telling the truth here, are you now?
No, that's just a copy paster, isn't it?
Exactly. So yeah, I think you're right. This isn't a clean cut, black and white, light and dark approach to this. This is slightly murky on both sides of the water, I feel.
Massively.
So nobody's going to come out of this, I don't think, with their reputation fully intact. But on the other hand, Google have got deep pockets, good lawyers, and this isn't their
first
time.
Who cares about your reputation when you're making that much money?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Come again.
All about the shareholders.
Everything is about the shareholders, as we've learned in the last week. Right then. Okay. All right. Ensuring, Carl, that you're still with us. Right. Let's move on to the next story. Oh, yes. The chip shortage. So, chip shortage is never going to go away. I don't think.
Not for a long time.
Not for a long time. So TSMC, you know, who are our favorite other chip maker apart from Intel, they too are now looking at ways to kind of alleviate this chip shortage. But short of a time machine, nothing is going to happen here too. So now, though, it looks though that they're in conversations with the government in Singapore around building a new fab, isn't it? So a brand new fab there to help. But
yeah, this isn't cutting edge tech. So this is for older tech, isn't it? So this would, which is what a lot of chip shortages have been about. It's a bit more close to our heart, being gamers. We see the impact on latest chips and iPhone chips and graphics card chips, etc. But there's a huge shortage out there for older legacy tech, as they call it, 7 to 28 nanometer. They go into displays, power management, Wi-Fi, car systems, that kind of stuff. So this is what this factory is going to be geared around, is fab, not factory. But as we were talking just before we got online, this isn't going to be, great, we're building a new factory, next week we'll be chucking out chips. This is going to be at least 2+ years away before it's actually putting out chips, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just like the ones in Arizona and, is it Ohio? There were two states in the US that Intel and Samsung were chucking money into, weren't they?
That's right. So Ohio, Amazon, Arizona. Couldn't get Amazon stuck in my head then. Arizona was the other one, because TSMC were doing Arizona, Ohio. I think there was one other location, wasn't there?
There were a couple. Yeah. But again, those Samsung, it's going to be years before they're actually chucking out chips.
Yeah, this is, building a fab is a long-term project, isn't it? It is not something you can throw up in 6 months, off we trot, thanks very much. It is a complex, highly logistical project to build a fab, get the equipment in, isn't it? Get the clean rooms built out, train the staff before you turn it on. And it's not like a shoe factory where you spit it and it starts spitting stuff out, does it? It doesn't really work like that.
Right. It's not just the fab. It's all the supporting infrastructure.
Oh, yeah, and supply chain. Yeah.
You need to get in there. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think as we said off air, we were like, great, so 3 or 4 years, we're going to have so many chips that we're not going to buy them all. But now we're going to have none. So 3 or 4 years, stuff's going to be cheap. We're going to have so much supply.
Woo!
So maybe hold off for a graphics card till then if you can.
Yeah, it'd be great. There'll be so many chips, like you say. There'll be a kind of like, we can't sell this stuff anymore, is it? That's the problem. But this is great. I am really impressed with this, but this is just a kind of horse bolted stable door. I can't. The part of me there, but I guess let's look at it from a more positive spin. Actually, this could be useful, because if we're kind of building this in now, in the future, should there be other concerns or global issues?
Yep.
Fabrication units will be running in more localized areas in certain geographies. So in the US, in other parts of Asia, of course, in Europe as well, where Intel have been looking to build fabs, haven't they? Germany being one location. So we're starting to break down that kind of global supply chain issue to a more regionalized area that obviously will feed back into that bigger picture.
Yes.
Should there be issues or concerns? And China are doing the same as well, aren't they? Because China, we were saying this before, China are looking to bring a lot of chip production back in-house, aren't they? And build up on that. I think a couple of weeks ago we had that conversation.
So it's not the actual building of the chips, but the designing of the chips and associated bits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so, I suppose it's, they've all started to have a look at their business continuity plan and gone, it's all based in China. What happens if something happens to China? It'll be fine. Nothing's going to happen to China.
China? Uh-oh. Fast forward,
Yeah, no one saw that fatal flaw in their plan.
Yeah, but, that's the kind of, I guess, hindsight is great, isn't it? That crystal ball,
it is.
But, Apple, obviously, one of the biggest players, as we've said, with TSMC, the older tech here. I wonder whether Apple, in a couple of years' time, once a lot of these fabs are up and running, will look to localize production alongside where they're assembling. So the chips will be close to the assembly units.
Could you see Apple actually going, I'm just going to build my own fabs?
I wonder. Do you know what?
Far to get the complete, they've got the money to do it easily. They've got the money in the bank sitting there to do it. But would they? Would they go that far? One part of me goes, yeah, I could see them doing that. Total control. That's a lot. That's a whole new industry to get into.
I agree with you. I actually, but I wonder whether or not you're right there. I wonder if the business concerns are having, or business has a concern over any more of these supply chain issues or economic uncertainty, why not build out, like you say, your own fab? Not for everything, but for
the
option
is buy a chip maker, buy a fab company, but then antitrust might be an issue there.
That's the end problem. But yeah, you're right. I would not rule it out that they could go down this road. But like you say, it's a whole step into a completely different industry to existing one. But it's not inconceivable. It really is not inconceivable, given the fact that, you know, a couple of years ago, or more than that, you know, 10 years ago, would you have said Apple would have been looking at cars, you know, stuff like that? But the truth is they are. We just haven't seen it yet. But it's an industry they're working in. But yeah, I don't know. It's possible. It is not improbable. It is. You know. Okay. Well, talking of ship manufacturers, then, hell has frozen over. Last week we talked about open source. We talked about open source drivers and technology from NVIDIA. It turns out now Samsung and Intel have been discussing cooperation around their silicon businesses. Last week, apparently, Pat Gelsinger and Samsung boss Lee Jae-yong, I hope I pronounced that correctly, met in South Korea to discuss, according to their spokespeople, how to cooperate between the two companies. And that quote actually came from Samsung. And apparently they talked around, what was it, next generation memory, PC chips, mobile devices, fabs, or fabless, and the foundry business. I'm sure they had lots in common. But the key thing here, wasn't it, was around how they could cooperate. Because despite the fact that they are competitors in the marketplace, actually, very few of what they create overlaps, doesn't it? You know, because ARM is the main architecture that Samsung use, and typically that's in the mobile and other related technologies.
Yep.
And as we know, of course, Intel's biggest play is CPUs, isn't it? And that silicon there, rather than anything else. But this could be something interesting here, couldn't this? Apparently, you know, around what they could be doing.
Could we see ARC in mobile chips? Obviously, Samsung have a lineup with AMD, and they've introduced their own chips with AMD graphics, haven't they? Maybe we'll see some ARC in there instead. Or maybe we'll see ARM co-processors in Intel chips.
Yeah, they could do. It also was interested about the was Intel's memory business, wasn't it? Because Samsung have a much bigger play in the PC memory market. But also, it was saying here that there's, Compute Express Link, the CXL technology, which brings pooled memory to data centers. And Samsung already leading the way with CXL. But all of that memory, a lot of it's designed to be run with Intel architecture. So could we see a tie-up here? This is speculation. Look what Apple have been doing, of course, with their memory controllers and, you know, the system on chip there. Imagine if you could get Samsung's memory tech built in or designed to work seamlessly with that Intel architecture. I mean, that could be some improvements, couldn't it?
It could be,
But I guess the biggest play probably here, though, in my view, is this more around Intel touting their fab business?
Yeah, I think so. Samsung have their own fabs, but are they offering extra capacity?
Well, this is it, isn't it? You know, it just to me would be. Offering? Yeah, to me this to me would seem more logical that before, because Samsung are looking to expand that. Intel have got capacity or will have capacity. They want to drive that foundry business out, don't they?
They do. Yep.
And they need customers. So wouldn't it, you know, make sense to have a cooperation agreement, and, you know, we'll build you stuff. It could also provide Samsung potentially access to US, you know, markets more easily if their fat chips have been made in the US rather than been shipped in. So it could save money on taxes and imports, who knows. And also if they, you know, Samsung's manufacturing in the US, it could remove any supply chain issues there for them as well. So there's lots to be speculated here. Not much was published beyond the press release, but it's certainly interesting to see that, you know, that there's cooperation or communication, I should say, going on at that level, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So we'll see what happens there.
But I did see a comment made me chuckle on. So this was on the Register, old L Reg. Did you read the comments at the bottom?
I did not know.
So there's a couple of comments at the bottom that were saying, is this the formation of a new cartel like the one Samsung was involved in the early 2000s, price fixing on RAM? And then somebody put, then somebody replied back, well, they don't really overlap, do they? So that's perfect for a cartel. like, oh, the cynics among us, But there we go.
They both got form.
Right, they're talking of good form, though, then. AMD Ryzen 7000 has been announced, then. It's a bit of a meaty-looking chip we've got here, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it was kind of, I suppose, a pre-announcement. We didn't get the full lineup, did we? We didn't get all the details. It was a highlight, but yeah. So they have announced the Ryzen 7000 based on Zen 4. Obviously, the current 5000 and 3000 are on Zen 3. So, yeah, a similar kind of format. So we're going to get up to 16 cores, 32 threads, which I presume will be the 7950, like we have the 5950. You know, it's going to be stepping down to TSMC 5 nanometer from the 6 nanometer currently used. It looks like there's quite a lot going on here. So they're doubling the L2 cache from the Zen 3. So that's going to be 1 megabyte per core. And they are stating that it's going to be, what, a 15% improvement in single thread performance. It's going to boost up to, what, 5.5 gigahertz. So might be a good one for DCS. It's that single threaded boost we need for DCS, isn't it? They're going to make that jump to DDR5. Surprisingly, all chips, all of them will be getting the RDNA 2 graphics on board.
Yeah, that's unusual, isn't it? Because normally you see some of the higher-end chips have the onboard graphics taken out, don't they?
A lot of AMD's line didn't have graphics on nowadays. You had to get ones with a G on the end for graphics, obviously. keep it nice and simple. but yeah, the majority of them didn't have graphics. So to now have that on board, that's great. I mean, I don't know how we're going to use it if you've already got a solid graphics card. Could you use it for, I suppose bringing power usage down if you're just doing video encoding, decoding. Maybe you can use it as an extra graphics card to help do other tasks. I don't know what the plan there is, or maybe just because it's easier.
No, and as you say, there's definitely quite a lot going on here as well. You know, there's also, interestingly, two sets of two sizing as well, isn't it, with the processor cores. So the Zen 4 chiplets will be 5 nanometer, and then, as you say, those graphics, the RDNA 2, the memory controllers are all on 6 nanometer as well. So I wonder whether, efficiency in doing that.
We've expanded AI, haven't we? There's more focus on AI acceleration. I mean, they've really gone to town with this to say DDR5, but which apparently is going to be faster DDR5 than what's on Intel. But they've also gone to town on those PCI Express 5 lanes, haven't they? You get 24 of them. So I believe Intel's 12th gen only get, 16 5X lanes and 4 4X lanes. So this is PCI Express 5 the entire way. You get 14 of the 20 gig USB-C ports.
I have to say, I am leaning more and more towards AMD now, I think, for my next gaming rig.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see, obviously, the reviews of this. But, I mean, the current ones are no slouch. I mean, I'm still running the 3000 series. I'm running a 3950, so 3900. Not even the X version. So mine's 12 core, 24 thread, 8 is no slouch. Our colleague, I just built a new PC for. He's got the 5900. It's a very, very quick system.
I have to say, the more I see this, the more improvements, I really do think this is the way forward now. I think Intel are not that they're not innovating, but you're looking at least a generation behind in tech in some cases. Whereas AMD are clearly powering here. And I think, realistically, a 5950 or something could be my next chip, rather than going bleeding edge with a 7000, because that'll cost a fortune probably. A 5950 probably would give me what I want.
Would you, though, PCI... because it's a new chip on the 7000, so you're kind of shooting yourself for upgradability.
Well, yeah, possibly.
Depends what the pricing is going to be like, though.
It does depend.
It all depends on that. So yeah, we're going to get a new chipset. Unfortunately, it does mean a new socket. AMD have kept the same AM4 socket for quite a while.
Yeah, so this is a 5, isn't it now? Yeah,
it is. And you need those extra pin layout for the DDR5, the extra PCI Express lanes. So yeah, apparently three new chipsets, the B650, the X670 and X670 Extreme. They are actually all based on the same chipset. I think the X670 has two of the chips on the board, and the others are just slightly cut down. But that's you will right. be able to use your current coolers. So if you've invested in a water cooler or expensive air cooler for your AM4 socket, you'll be able to use that with the AM5.
And they will support the quad channel DDR5 as well, though. So that's quite impressive.
I think it's dual channel. It's all dual channel, isn't it?
Quad channel. I was saying on that. It's a quad channel.
Maybe I missed that one. Yeah, is it quad channel?
So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So the 67, the 670E, the 670, and the B650 all support quad channel DDR5. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
well, that's going to be a massive improvement over.
Yeah, that's what I thought was quite impressive.
Dual channel DDR5. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
So they did that on Threadripper, didn't they? And the current Threadripper is quad channel.
Yeah, so I thought that was quite impressive, to given even at the 650, which is the kind of the budget end, isn't it? The mainstream sort of chipsets. But yeah, well,
that's good.
As more details come out, we'll update on this. But I'm impressed. Another game changing potential winner, I think, from our friends over at AMD. Definitely.
Definitely. Yeah. So no pricing, no release date, but I'm sure later on in the year we'll hear
that'll
more.
That'll come. Right then, so we've come to the first film review we've had for some time here on the Tech Round. So last weekend, Carl, a mutual friend and myself, made the trip to the Big Smoke here in the UK, in London, to the IMAX theatre where we partook in Top Gun Maverick. And yes, it was very dusty in that cinema. I don't know why, but it was very dusty indeed. There were, you know, wet eyes in the room. I think many a man there was overwhelmed by the nostalgia. But it is a phenomenal film, isn't it, Carl?
It was. I mean, yeah, that nostalgia, it had many moving moments. I was like, don't cry. You're a grown man in the cinema. Pull it together. But I mean, yeah, it was such a good film. And I was worried because historically, sequels don't fare very well, do they?
Well, not just sequels. Sequels when they've had such a time gap. I mean, this is what, 36 odd years. If you take it from 1986 to 2022, now, okay, granted, this was meant to come out a couple of years ago, but realistically, things you're looking at 36 years has passed from time to time. And you're right, sequels have that unenviable task of trying to improve on the previous film, but whilst keeping what was good about the original film, isn't it? And
trying to improve.
And such as a film as this, which carries so much weight and is such a cult classic, is, I guess, the bar was very high. And the trailers that came out initially gave you different viewpoints on what the film could be about. Again, we're going to try and avoid spoilers here, but the trailers have been very cleverly edited, haven't they? I think is the best way to describe that.
A lot of stuff was out of order in the trailers, wasn't it? And you're like, oh, okay, so that's that way around, is it? Ah, that makes more sense.
Yeah. But I mean, what I will say is this film is Easter egg central. They have dropped in so many references to the original film that you lose count trying to catch up with them. And some of them only drop after. It's like, oh, God, I remember that bit. What I will say is there's a bit in the original Top Gun where they talk about Maverick and how many times he's been done for flybys, isn't it? Like, you know, was it how many air control towers and one admiral's daughter? That reference I'll leave with you, because it's like, what? And I picking up on some of these things, and some of the things that, you know, that the casting have as well. I mean, Miles Teller, out of everybody in that film, Miles Teller to me was probably the most inspired casting. He looked like Goose. He, you know, you could have been his son, couldn't he, if it was real? He
could have been. Yeah, he was very, very good. Yeah. The on-screen relationship between him and Cruise was very well done.
It was. And again, you know, I think the whole Val Kilmer piece, because there was a lot of speculation, how are they going to handle Val Kilmer? How are they going to be careful? Because obviously he can't speak. Again, very, very tastefully and respectfully done.
You heard a lot about him throughout the film. You're like, I mean, he's on the credits, so they actually going to show him. And then they did. He had a scene, and it was, it was very well done.
Yeah, it was done. And I think, you know, again, it was very, very respectfully done, given his place in the original film and how that works. But yeah, this is a great film. It's, you know, rated, I mean, I think in most places, it's nearly 10 out of 10. A lot of critics, you know, 9 out of 10. There's talk of being Oscar worthy. It runs for just over 2 hours. I could have watched it again after we'd finished it. I know.
When's it available when digital download? Yeah. I want to go watch it again.
You know when they say, they don't make films like they used to? Well, they do. They do.
This was an old school film, wasn't it?
Yeah. This, to me, could be Tom Cruise's finest moment. I think, given, where he is as an actor, this is tied up and close that out. We've got, Mission Impossible. Is it Rogue Nation? Is it Rogue Nation or Rogue State? Oh. What's the one they're coming out now?
I can't remember now.
But he's closing out Mission Impossible, isn't he? In the next two films, Dead Reckoning. So Dead Reckoning Part One comes out next year, in a year's time, and then Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part Two comes out in 2024. So they're closing out the Mission Impossible timeline, which that's been running since 1996, unbelievably. That's what, 28 years between the first and the last film of those? Can you believe it?
Oh, no.
So he's closing out, but I do think, though, this film is probably going to go down as one of the best films that he's ever been in. Yeah, I'm slightly biased, but it just, to me, was the casting, the story. It all sat within the world of the Top Gun.
The posters, yes.
I bought one of those.
You ordered yourself one, haven't you?
There are some inaccuracies. People are arguing about, how is he still only a captain, and he's been in the Navy after nearly 40 years of service,
If he was Val Kilmer's, Iceman's position, then it wouldn't make a great film, would it?
No, because theoretically speaking, he should be a four-star admiral. There is one of the quotes, isn't there? I think it was in the trailer, isn't it? Was it Rear Admiral, the guy who plays Cyclone, isn't it? Cyclone says to him, wasn't it? It might be Ed Harris's character.
It was Ed Harris.
He says to him, was it 30 years of service, combat medal, citations, only managed to shoot down 3 enemy planes in the last 40 years, yet you can't get a promotion, you won't retire, and despite your best efforts, you refuse to die. You should be at least a 2-star apple by now. Yeah, here you are, Captain. What is that? It's one of life mysteries, sir. It's just brilliant. It's just one liner, isn't it? Phenomenal film. I would say go see it. If you can see it on a big screen, see it on a big screen. If you can't, when it comes out, watch it on a mini screen, but watch it. This is the film.
Turn the volume up, shut the curtains and enjoy.
I just cannot wait to watch it again. I will be, as I said to my wife, I was like, yep, I watched Top Gun the other. She was like, you've just been to see the sequel. I was like, yeah, well, I'm watching the first one again.
I might have to dig that one out and give it a go.
But IMDb currently have got it as a rating of 8.7 out of 10.
Wow. That's a very high rating for them.
And I think, Rotten Tomatoes, I had it written down here. Let me flick through my notes. Rotten Tomatoes was giving it a 97% fresh rating and a 99% audience score.
Wow. Very, very good.
Unbelievable. It's just, and the one thing I will say as well, the flying scenes in this, the original was groundbreaking for its own reasons, but this is just a stunning film, isn't it?
And it's not CGI, is it? It's real.
No. There are some CGI, of course, but you're right. Okay. The bulk of the flying scenes are, they are done by the team there, but very, very good. Right then, it is time for the Tech Rant Rumour Mill. Carl, take us away.
Well, there's only one, and of course it's an Apple one, isn't it? But yes, we've got WWDC, haven't we, on Monday. So things are gearing up for iOS 16, iPhone 14, presumably going to be called that. I'm pretty sure they are. But Mark Gurman, he is saying that iOS 16, he may finally include always-on display features for the 14 Pro and the Pro Max.
Well, surely, hang on a minute, though. This is not necessarily an iOS 16 feature. This is probably more of a hardware feature, just to be...
I think it's... one of each, isn't it? So I thought we were going to get this last year because we got the variable refresh rate or the what screen do they call it? ProMotion, didn't we? But that only does 10 to 120 hertz. And I know the watches with the always on display get all the way down to 1 hertz. So maybe we're going to see an improvement on the refresh rate screens in the 14 Pro and the Pro Max. It'll bring it down to 1 hertz, you know, and allowing them to do that always on. Now, they could do it with a 10 hertz screen, but it's going to eat more battery.
Yeah, so this is using, isn't it, what they call the LTPO screens, isn't it? Which are the low-temperature polycrystalline silicon. I got that right.
Well done.
And the TFT, which also has a TFT element to it as well. So as you say, so the 120 hertz on the iPhone 13, coupled with this potential new screen technology, well, not new screen technology, but new for the iPhone screen technology, and then you could get an always-on screen, which I think is actually, I've got that on the Pixel. It's a great bit of tech. You got it on the watches, again, great bit of tech.
Oh, some of us do. Some of us poor people have only watch four. Don't have.
Yeah,
that.
Well, you know. But I know. This is probably realistic. Yeah, I think we can go with this. So. I think this is a plausible rumor. And as you say, Dub Dub is around the corner. Monday is a Dub Dub time. The keynote will be on Monday at 6 p.m. UK time, 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. We'll get the latest on that as soon as it comes. So next week, we'll update you on some of the big stories from Dub Dub and also the other tech stories week, but that will probably leave. I don't think we're going to see the VR headset, AR headset. I think it's too soon, despite some of the critiques. Yeah. I think we probably won't. There has been some rumors that Reality OS or ROS has been trademarked, hasn't it? But yes, it has. I don't think we're going to see it. I think it's still too soon. But, you know, we could get a sneak preview on some of the other tech. I am leaning maybe to the Mac Pro, possibly hardware, getting a mention. Maybe. Who knows?
We should be seeing those upgrades to on the iPad, shouldn't we? So that hopefully you're able to get resizable windows, so upgrades to the multitasking.
Definitely, that would be good to see. And, you know, there are also rumors that this is probably the final year and, you know, of the current iPhone design. So we won't see much around that, but that will be in September. But hopefully the indications in the iOS UI might give us some idea of what's coming. But there is also talk previously mentioned when, you know, shortly after iOS 15 came out, that they weren't going to change masses of the UI, sorry, the operating system this year, wasn't it? Right. It was going to be more of a kind of a feature build with a next iteration. But, you know, Apple have been known to surprise, and we could see some of that. So we will bring you all of the latest stories from that next week. So ensuring, Carl, you get to live another day and that you're, you know, not keeling over as a recording, I think that's probably a good place to wrap it up for today. We'll be back next week with episode 91. And I'll be coming to you from an undisclosed location during recording. So hopefully I'll be packing my mic in my case.
Are you going to WWDC yourself?
No.
Are you live from Apple Campus?
I won't be live from Apple Campus, but, you know, I may be close by.
We did not get the invite, no?
No, I may be close by, but again, secret location. So hopefully recording will go okay. I will pack my mic, as I say, in my suitcase, and off I trot. But you can, of course, before then, find us online at techrant.online for all of our show notes and information. And, of course, we're on Twitter at Weekly Tech Rant. Please like the show, share it, tell your friends about it. And a special mention to our listeners over in Germany, who I had some good feedback from the last week, who said it sounded like two friends talking about tech over a beer. Well, we've done it. That's exactly what we set out to do.
Yes, we have.
So I'm glad you picked up on it. But anyway, thanks for listening. As I say, I've been Jay.
I've been Carl. Have a good day, all.